view of the Sefer. It's a new Sefer. Just came out a few weeks ago. It's called Halachos of Opening Packages on Shabbos. Okay, here's what it looks like. The halachas. Now this, we once upon a time, not that long ago, there was another Sefer, maybe been a year ago, 2 years ago, there was another Sefer which came out, same exact topic. It had color pictures. It went through basically all the same things. Mail also, yes. Anything. Opening up an Amazon box. Amazon package comes on Shabbos. Opening up mail. Opening up in the refrigerator bottles of soda. Opening cans, tuna fish cans. Water bottles. Snapple bottles. Beer bottles. Cartons of milk. Juice. The old-fashioned ones where you have to open up the paper. And the new ones where there's a knob. There's a plastic knob. Metal, plastic, soft plastic, hard plastic. It's infinite. Today, you go into the supermarket, you go down the aisle, every single package is sealed. Boxes of matzah, you won't have a box of matzah, it's sealed. A box of cookies. What about opening up paper plates, plastic cups? What is the halacha? Are you allowed to open up these items on Shabbos? Now, a couple of years ago, I don't remember how long ago, there was another Sefer which came out, very, very, very similar to the Sefer. I don't recall it being as thorough. It had color pictures of every single thing. If someone went into the supermarket and they took photographs of every single type of product and they explained what the issues are. I have it at home somewhere. I'm sure I have it. I could find it easily at home somewhere. I just didn't get a chance to, time is very limited to pull it out. And we actually went through. We actually spent a day or two on reviewing that Sefer a while ago. Maybe it was 2-3 years ago. And I don't remember very much. The only thing that I remember about that Sefer, and it was a very thorough Sefer. It had all of the Makaris, the reasons, the alumnus, and there was a lot of information there, not just pictures, is that basically everything is mutter. That's how I remember it. And I was shocked.
Related to food or eating food? General.
Everything. Even mail. Amazon package shows up on Shabbos. He found a heter that it's mutter to open up the box. You can open up the box and you can take out the package. And as long as it's not muksa, of course. As long as the item that's in the box is not muksa. A letter didn't go. No, that's also not. The guy did it for himself. He didn't do it for you. So just because he came from outside the tchum. I don't remember all the deals. But all I remember that sticks in my mind is I was shocked. It was a very choshev sefer. This is a very choshev askamis. I'm sure I was just so surprised how, wow, at the end of the day, everything is mutter. You can basically open up, and that's it. That's how I remember it. You can open up everything, every type of bottle, every can, everything you can possibly imagine. Of course, there are some rules you have to follow. You have to open it up in a destructive manner. You have to maybe not open it up perfect all the way, or open it up fully. I don't remember. I really don't remember all that much. What? I don't remember all that much. But I do remember being so surprised how everything was mutter, and it was a chosh of a sefer. Okay. Now, this sefer is obviously, it's a new sefer. And here they don't have color pictures. They have illustrations, which is much better, you should know. Okay, illustrations are far, far better, at least in my worthless opinion, than color pictures. Because a color picture, you're not going to be able to see what they're really referring to. An illustration, if a good artist, they show you with precision exactly what we're dealing with and exactly what the issues are. And the illustrator here has succeeded in depicting all of the popular items that we're very familiar with precision and greater precision in showing you the detail that we are concerned about. It's unbelievable. So this Sefer is just worth it just for the pictures. The illustrations itself is an incredible talent. There are people out there that can create. It's incredible how people are able to draw and have such talent in recreating these things, these illustrations. Now, this Sefer is shocking to me. Because in this Sefer, the tendency of the person to put the Sefer together is basically everything is usur. Now, that's not nice. That's not nice what I said. I shouldn't say that. I don't mean it like that. he doesn't say it's osur, but there's definitely, I say with confidence, his leaning, the weight he presents on many of these things is it's much better to be machmir. If you need to be makel, we can find you a solution, but really it's osur. And it just in my mind, just very funny. I have this other sefer as color pictures and all the mekoros and the mar mekoros. You ever all the poiskim the gedolei hadar mutter. And this osur. All right, that's not why we're doing the sefer. However, this sefer does though in a very unique way. It goes through the sugyas. It really it half the sefer is in Hebrew. Probably at least half is in Hebrew, and he does very. It's phenomenal. He goes through the sugyas. The person who wrote the sefer has such clarity in the sugyas. Okay, his maskana may be you should be machmir, but he also tells you, he's very honest. But you can be makel. There are many poskim that say that it's mutter. And fine, I don't think it's gonna. I don't know how much it's gonna affect me. Maybe it will affect me to be more machmir, more careful. But one thing he does very well is he presents the issues, the sugyas, to be aware of what are the problems. I think over here it's more clarity here in many of these things than in the other sefer. Not that
if somebody is machmir,
yeah,
okay. But if somebody is mekel, he may be guilty of chilul Shabbos.
Okay, so that's so what he says.
There's a reason why being machmir in this case.
Okay, so let's go to the sugyas. Everyone should do what they're accustomed to doing. Of Baruch Harwas, he told me before we started that his Rebbe Rav Zisal, I can't even pronounce it. Zisholtz. Was very lenient. Everything was mutter. Everything. You can open up every bottle you can find in the supermarket is mutter.
Food,
not packages. His Rebbe, Zitzholz, was machmir when it comes to opening up cups, plastic, you have boxes, or you have cups, you have paper plates that are wrapped up. That he was machmir. But bottles, actual food packages, everything is mutter, and there are many, many places that indeed hold that it's mutter. For some reason, in this sefer, he has a leaning to be machmir. Okay, let's discuss the issues. And I'm not telling you, you can be makel. Everyone is makel. A lot of people are makel today. Most people, in fact, are very makel today. But let's discuss some of the issues. Some very beautiful things that he brings out over here in this sefer. Let's go through some of them right away. First thing is, we have to start. There's a very important sugya. Very important sugya. It comes from the Gemara, and it's called, I don't know if I'm even pronouncing it correctly, called Stiras Mustokai. Mustokai. It's a very funny word. It's an Aramaic word. This is in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Where is in the Masechta Shabbos? What daf is it? I can't even find the daf at this moment in time. But the Gemara speaks about a halacha, the sugya of Binyan and Stira Bekelim. It all starts with this. We know that there's a malacha de'oraisa, an isur de'oraisa to do construction on Shabbos. There's an isur de'oraisa to do demolition on Shabbos. These are two of the av malachis. There are 39 categories of labor. A person does these malachis if he's been warned by witnesses and he violates the halacha willingly, he's chayev misa, serious business. Misas bezdin, be executed by bezdin for engaging in construction on Shabbos. If there are no witnesses, but he knows that it's wrong, he's chayev kores. It's very serious. Construction. What is construction generally? Is where a person attaches something to the earth. Something which is permanent, something which is beneficial. It's you're doing something of value, and you're building something, and the building involves attaching building materials to the ground, or something that is already attached to the ground. Mechubar lekarka. If you come over here in this room and you want to put up a partition, and you permanently take a drill or a hammer or nails and you erect a wall, you bang in beams, bars, it's permanently attached to the structure, and it's a melacha d'oraisa of binyan. Binyan d'oraisa. Now, what about constructing utensils? If I, on Shabbos, I take raw material and I make a cup, make a bowl, I take earthenware, wet and mud, and I form a utensil. I take some type of material, metal, and I form it. I take a hot piece of metal that's already been sitting on the fire for a long time. It's very hot, it's soft, and I go and I fashion it into a utensil. I've created something that is useful, that is functional. Is that a melacha d'oraisa of binyan? Let's say I take a utensil and I destroy it. Now, destruction is never chayiv, never melacha, but I destroy it in order that I can recreate it. I destroy it to recreate it. Is that a melacha of stira, of demolition? So the answer is no, it's not. Halacha l'maisa, there's no such thing as the melacha d'oraisa of binyan with regard to something that is detached from the ground. There is binyan that's mechubal l'karka, and there is binyan that on something that is not mechubal l'karka, called binyan kelim. To make a utensil on Shabbos is not a melacha d'oraisa. Ein binyan b'kelim. Now, I shouldn't really say we paskin ain't binyan b'kelim. That's right. There's no binyan b'kelim. However, midrabanan we paskin as an enactment, as a takana, not to confuse binyan mechubal karka and dav that's not mechubal karka. It is also midrabanan to engage in creating a utensil on Shabbos. Midrabanan binyan b'kelim is also. Now let's talk theoretically. Let's say you have a bottle, and the bottle has a metal cap. Let's talk about, it's not so easy to find these metal caps. Maybe you find them on wine bottles, some of the more expensive type of, or some more expensive items, and you have on a bottle a metal cap that has a ring that keeps it fastened to the bottle. And the way the metal, now everything, you have to be very careful because things are always changing. Technology always changes. The way in the olden days, and it's still true today in certain types of products, metal caps are put on bottles that have a ring, there's a factory, there's an assembly line, and the bottle comes down, and the machine just puts on it a slab of metal, aluminum, whatever it is, a piece of metal, a flat piece of metal like this. Okay, it's not so big, it's a certain shape to it, obviously. And then a machine comes with enormous force and pushes down on that piece of metal and perfectly seals the bottle. And when it does so, it also etches a little, indentation on the bottom, so that when you turn it, that ring will break off and then the cap will come off. So what is the result? The result is this piece of metal was originally just a slab of metal, piece of aluminum, and when it was put on the bottle, it was not functional. It was not functional. And the first time it will become functional to close the bottle will be when you'll open it. In other words, let's take a look at it from a different perspective. Let's say you have caps. You manufacture caps. Just little nice caps to close bottles. And you're in a factory and you have some workers that are taking the caps and they're putting it on the bottle. And then they take some type of gizmo, some type of high-tech device, and they seal the cap on the bottle. The cap already has been established as a utensil. If I start off in a factory, I have a bottle and I have caps. I have a big box of caps. Every single cap is called in the halacha a utensil, a kli. This kli is complete. It has a function. something to be called something to be called a kli. All it needs is to be functional. It serves a purpose. What is the purpose? You close the bottle in order that the contents of the bottle should not get damaged, should not, if it's carbonated, the carbonation should not fizzle out, and bugs should not go inside, and dirt should not fall inside. So a cap is called a utensil because it has a function of protecting delicate food or items that need to be protected. So it's functional. In the factory, I have bottles and I have caps. Are the caps already, have they already been established as being utensils? Absolutely. What do I do now with this cap? I put it on the bottle, but I don't want it to be tampered with. So we have some high-tech devices in these factories that take these caps that are already functional and they are sealed to the bottle. All different techniques of sealing to the bottle. Those, now comes Shabbos. On Shabbos, I have a bottle, the bottle is sealed. I'm going to open up the cap. When I open up the cap, I'm going to basically destroy the seal and I'm going to have a cap. Now, let's put aside the issues of what you are doing in destroying the seal. Let's put aside the seal. But when I open up the cap, oh, I have a cap. I have created a functional utensil on Shabbos. This is called boine. It's not boine d'oraisa, but yesh binyan b'kele mid'rabbanan. Boine. I've made a cap on Shabbos.
The cap was there before.
Exactly. Ridiculous. The cap existed in the factory. The cap already existed. The cap already was a kli. I didn't create the cap. I didn't do nothing. The only thing that I did was I destroyed the seal. I destroyed the mechanism or the device that was used to put this kli, this functional kli, attached to the bottle. I destroyed, so we'll have to analyze, when I destroyed that seal, did I do a malacha? But I did not create a new kli. The kli existed in the factory. In the factory, it was sealed to the bottle. I, on Shabbos, destroyed the seal. After I destroyed the seal, I have the utensil. I didn't create the utensil, it already existed. So if you can find a case like this, generally, it's 100% mutter. Because it's almost impossible to find a hechatimsa to say that breaking the seal is a violation of any malacha. The seal is sometimes, right, so these type of seals, what would be the issues of removing the seals? So koreya, ripping. You're not allowed on Shabbos to destroy, to rip, to tear. That's one of the avos melachas. It's an av melacha to tear something on Shabbos. Now the halacha is now. What about a cap? When I have a cap and there's a seal, when I separate the seal, there are many different types of seals, many different types of techniques that are used today in the industry to seal. The seal caps the bottles. And if I destroy the seal, inevitably I'm doing an act of koireya. So the answer is no, you're not. Number one, koireya is only when it's done for constructive purposes. I have material, I need a certain size, I need a piece of, this is too big. So I have to tear the material in order to take a piece of the material. I need a size of the material. You have to tear something for constructive purposes. Let's say there's the case of the Gemara of Korea is where a worm has damaged part of the garment. There's a what are they called?
A moth.
A moth has eaten away at the material. So I have to repair it. In order for me to repair and add new stitches, new material, I have to cut part of the material in order to remove a section so that now I can make the proper repair. When you make a repair, and oftentimes you have to go and do an act of koireya, an act of koireya in order to go and make the repair. The purpose of you making that tear is constructive. I'm doing an act of koireya for the greater good of then making a repair. When you toilet paper, there's another shot of toilet paper is mutter b'di'aved as long as you don't do it on the perforations. But okay, that's a different. So you'll come. Believe it. We'll come to that if we have time. Let's go. We'll come back to that soon. But koreya has to be for constructive purposes, a constructive purpose, especially to repair what you're going to cut. Toilet paper, you're destroying what you're taking. Okay, let's put it about toilet paper for a second. Put it away for a second. I'm not so clear that. But when you remove the seal, number one, the ripping that you're doing is destructive. You are destroying something that will never, ever be repaired. You can't tell me, oh, by destroying the seal, you can open up the cap. The cap is something separate. The cap is a separate item. The seal itself is destroyed, discarded, never to be repaired. That is a destructive form of koreya, which is permitted when it comes to tzarech oichel nefesh. It's permitted. That's not the malacha. Number two, koreya only applies to something pliable. There is no din koreya on plastic. Anything that is hard, that cannot be folded, there's no din koreya. So there's nothing to talk about. Koreya is not an issue when it comes to opening up seals of bottles, because koreya, number one, is only also when it's a constructive act, not when it's a destructive act. Number two, koreya only applies to something that is pliable, not when something that is hard, like
cardboard?
What?
Cardboard.
No, there's no din koreya on cardboard. It has to be cloth. Koreya only applies to cloth. It does not apply to hard items. So there's no din koreya technically.
Koreya on a piece of paper?
I don't think so. I'm not so sure. Koreya has to be cloth. Meikar hadin koreya is what he says over here. Cloth. I'm not so sure even on paper there's din of koreya.
Paper.
So he talks about, you can think about toilet paper. Not toilet paper does resemble a cloth. It depends. I'm not sure. But there are two things going for us opening a bottle. Let's just focus for the moment on bottles. There are two things going for us when it comes to opening a bottle. Number one, it's plastic, so it's very, very hard. It's very hard. There's no din koreya. Number two, it is a destructive act. Now, what about nechatech?
Why is it destructive? It's enabling you.
That's a secondary thing. The cap and the seal are two completely separate things. The rios of the Mishkan.
It's constructive, but you're saying that I can drink. It's not constructive to the item.
You
have a curtain, and the curtain is damaged. And the only way you can repair the damage is by cutting part of the curtain, and then after you cut it, then it's going to be aligned in a way where you can repair it. So what you're cutting, you're going to eventually use, what you actually cut will eventually be repaired. But the only way I can repair it is by first cutting it. So at the end of the day, I'm cutting what I will repair. When I cut the seal on a bottle of soda or any type of container which has a seal, that's it. The seal is gone. The seal will never be repaired. The seal is just being cut to enable me to open up the cap, the cover, something which is extraneous to the seal itself. When the malacha deraisa of koreya is this cloth, I want to make a repair on the cloth. The only way I can repair the cloth is to actually cut the cloth first. So I'm cutting, and what I cut, I am repairing. But if you're going to cut something and you're never going to repair it, so the cut is a destructive act, that's not called koreya. Mm-hmm. I have a cap. The cap is independent. The cap, part of the cap, has a seal. I'm cutting that seal in one way or another. I'm destroying that seal. Will I ever repair that seal? No. The seal that I destroy, it just enables me to open up something else. That's not called koreya. Mm-hmm. We'll get to kids in a second. Let's do one thing at a time. Where's the bottles? So there's no malacha deraisa, there's no koreya. Number two, what about mechatech? People talk about mechatech. Mechatech means, in addition to koreya, whenever you separate something, even something that's let's say even a piece of hard metal or wood, and you cut it into a very precise size, that is a separate melacha deraisa called mechatech. You have a piece of wood, and you want it to be exactly 2 inches, exactly 10 inches, and you cut a piece of wood, you take measurements, and you cut it exactly where you want it to be cut, that is a melacha deraisa of mechatech. So why don't you say that in many of these type of seals, you have caps, and the caps have like indentations along where you're supposed to turn, and by turning it there, it separates the upper portion from the lower portion through an action. Why don't we say that is called mechatech? Okay, there's no melacha deraisa of koreya, because it's destructive, and it's not cloth. When it comes to a piece of wood or a piece of metal or a piece of hard material, if you cut it at a very precise location because you need it to be a perfect size, that is the melacha d'oraisa of mechatech. So why don't we say many situations of seals, of caps, have indentations where when you turn it, a portion of the cap or the seal will be cut at exactly a precise location. Why isn't that called mechatech? So the answer is, if there is an indentation, adarabah, that prevents it, it's already defined. It is already defined where it's supposed to be cut. That's not a melacha mechatech. Which basically means something which I thought was not true, but this is what he says here. Toilet paper that is perforated, I always say it's the worst thing you can possibly do. Perforated toilet paper, when you cut the toilet paper along the dots, and it should, you know, it's mechatech, mechatech, yes, mamash mechatech. He says,
and
no.
You want it to that size.
He says, that's not the melacha deraisa. If it already has been perforated, it's already noticeable where the cuts, where the folds are. So by you just separating it, it's not necessarily the best thing to do. But that's not called mechatech midaraisa. Mechatech midaraisa is if a piece of wood, and there are no dots, to cut with precision. Precision. A cutting, separating. If you, this is what he says here, he brings little cards. If you have a piece of wood, and it doesn't have dots on the wood, it hasn't already been cut, and you take out a tape measure, and you measure 3 inches, and then you cut along 3 inches, that's mechatech. You have a goylem. A goylem is one mass. And you want it to be a precise size. And you measure. And you create it to the size of your liking. That is mechatech. The classic example he gives is, and it was shocking to me that you allowed to do this, is talk about pudding, okay, or yogurts that come, let's say, in a container, and there are 6 of them, or 3 of them, or whatever number of them, and each little container is separate, but they're all attached. They're all attached. So I always thought, if you go and you take off one of those little containers, you crack it off, it's mechatech. What greater mechatech is there than that? You have 3 different, let's say you have a series of 3, and each one is obviously unique. Each one has its own container. And they're all attached on top, hard plastic. And there's a little line to make it easy. So you bend it a little more, a little more, a little more. Bang! It snaps. And now you have a separate, unique container of pudding. So is that mechatech? No! It's definitely not mechatech. It's mutter lechatchila, he says. Why lechatchila? Why? Because it's clear, it's obvious that each of these 3 things are separate. They're completely separate. There are 3 containers, and they're marked on top. And it's very obvious that the goal is each one is to themselves. So for you just to break them apart, what are you doing? You're doing a destructive act of separating something that was all connected. Is it korea? It's not korea, it's hard plastic. Is it mechatech? Mechatech is only when you make it distinct. You take something that is not distinct, and you make it distinct with precision. Since over here, each one already has been clearly defined as being distinct, there's nothing, there's no aver in separating. You do nothing wrong with separating it.
Does he say his source?
Yeah. He has all the sources. It's going to take me too long to go through every single little detail. This is shocking to me. This is what he says. He says, Beferish, he says, it's permitted to do so. And he says exactly the same thing. Let me actually go, but maybe I'll go find it here now. Actually, the same thing when it comes to the caps. Many of the caps, they have the rings. They even talk about the worst scenario, the metal rings. You have a bottle, some of the wines still have this. You have a metal cap, and the metal cap, the way it's secured on the bottle, is with a metal ring on the bottom. When you turn the cap, the metal ring separates. So when you turn it, you're clearly separating that metal on the bottom from what's on top. It's like toilet paper. You're separating it at a very precise location. That says that's not mechatech. It already has been defined. If you would come along on Shabbos, you would just have a metal and it was completely sealed, and you would go and take a knife and make an indentation and make marks around the bottom of this piece of slab of metal to indicate where you wanted to break off from, and then you would turn it and it would cause the lower portion to snap based upon your indentation, that would be mechatech. Make believe, when it would come from the factory, there would be a slab of metal sealing the top of this bottle. And then they would give you a device that you would put on the bottle and you would squeeze. And by squeezing it, it would create an indentation in this aluminum on the bottom and maybe even make some holes in it to indicate this is where it should break off. And then you would turn it, and as you would turn it, it would then snap off. That would be mechatech. Because then you're dealing with what?
You have that with corn butter. When you have that sealed with metal,
yeah.
Aluminum, then you take that little device that they give you, open up the, before you take the cork out.
You have to make a mark? I'm not familiar with it.
Around,
yeah. Oh, so that would be mechatech. That would be mechatech. That would mamish be mechatech. There I say.
The truth is, you can take the cork out, but it's
okay. But let's have a make believe scenario, a make believe case. Let's say you would buy a bottle of wine, like we had. Tell you, let's say everyone I'm sure is still familiar with this. They still have these things where you have a metal cap, and the metal cap is secured to the bottle with a ring, and the ring is still attached. The ring is attached. Most of the ring has been already cut, but it's still attached to certain locations. And when you turn the cap, when you turn it, it causes the lower portion to snap off. So you, is that mechatech? The reason why that's not mechatech is because it already has been cut partially where you want it to snap off. So you're just bringing about a separation that already has been made. If, make believe the bottle will come from the factory, it's the slab of metal is on the bottle, and there is no indentation. And if you, it's not going to turn. If you're going to turn, it's not going to go because it's just too tight. And you have a device, you take some type of device, and you put on the top of the bottle, and you squeeze it, and there's a blade on the bottom, and by that blade, it somehow it cuts into a very precise location on the metal. And then you take off the device, and now, because I've done that, now when I turn it, it will now fall off, and the top will come off. That would be mechatech, because there you are creating on a slab of material where you want there to be a separation, a precise separation. Yeah?
In all these cases, we really don't care if, for example, you don't really care if you've done preparation. You open up the can, you don't care if it's at this spot or at that spot, as long as the cap is off. So really, it would be...
It could be that you do care because it's not going to come off unless you mark and you make a separation. I hear what you're saying. You don't care exactly with precision what part of the bottle, what part of the cap should remain on with the cap, and what part should be the ring. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. But generally, you do want there to be a separation. But it's completely moot. In these halachas, he makes it very clear, in these halachas, there is no issue when it comes to opening up bottles with the melach of mechatech. Because in every single type of situation that we have today in the store, the mark already has been made for us. When the mark already has been made for you, that's not called mechatech. The melacha mechatech means you have to be the one to decide where you're going to make that separation. If the separation already has been indicated, that's not called mechatech. Especially where it's been cut through. So opening up a can, opening up a bottle with a cap, there's definitely no issue whatsoever of koirea, and there's no issue whatsoever of mechatech. Because koirea is destructive, and you're never going to repair what you're destroying. Number two, koirea only applies to cloth, not to plastic, something that is hard. Mechatech only applies if you're dealing with a piece of material and you come along and decide, I want it to be cut here. Exactly along the line. Every seal that we have where something separates, it's already been decided for us where it's going to be cut. There are marks, there are indentations. It is fashioned such a way where the two things are already 90% separated and you're just finishing it off. It's clear as day. So there is no...
All these things are mutar or patur.
Mutar l'chatchila. Mutar l'chatchila. So far.
Is it a question of people don't know? Or
no, there is... So. It's a tough question. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, for some reason, is very machmir on these things. Rav Shlomo Zalman, many places are very, very makel. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he quotes them extensively, and he quotes Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, is machmir, and Rav Falsch, Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was machmir more. A lot of these things did not exist in Rav Moshe's times. A lot of the new things that we have today. Today, Rav Moshe's times were very limited types of ways that they had. They had the milk cartons. Even the milk cartons don't exist anymore the way they would with the paper. Moshe was very machmir in milk cartons. Hilda's a melacha deraisa. And it's interesting, he's so machmir. And when it comes to milk cartons, he's very maker. He says most places can say it's more to open up the milk cartons. He has a lot of chidushim here. It's very interesting. It's very chash v'sefi. He's very, very thorough. He looks at one thing at a time. So opening up a bottle so far is not an issue of koirea, and it's not an issue of mechatech. So what's the issue then? The only issue is making a utensil, a kli. You're making a utensil for the very first time. So here's the thing. If you're dealing with the plastic caps that are found, let's talk about soda bottles. Let's not yet go to the water bottles. There are water bottles and there are sports drinks. There are basically three different types of water bottles. If you will go with the water bottles, which there are three different types of caps that are very popular today in the market. We'll get that in a second. But let's deal with this. Look, everyone's a soda bottle, a cap. Okay, whether you can have a ring on the bottom, whether it's going to split open, the plastic caps are all kalim in the factory before they are thrust on the bottle of soda or the container. They're all caps. They don't go melt the cap for the very first time in plastic. No, they make caps, they have big boxes of caps, and the caps are smashed onto the soda. When you open it up, did you now create for the very first time a cap? A cap is a very valuable thing. Because if you don't have a cap, then the bottle is going to become, the carbonation is going to dissolve. It's going to get ruined. No one's going to go put back in the refrigerator an open bottle. Even on the table, people are very back. Close the cap, close the soda. Don't let the carbonation dissipate. It's valuable. Who's not going to argue with you that a cap, a plastic cap, is a utensil which serves a very important function of closing the bottle? You see what goes on. People are very back. I go to shul. You take a soda. I got a kiddush. Close the bottle. Right? It's very mockery. It's something of value. So if the cap already existed, and it's just smashed on the bottle, and now I destroy the seal and all the different techniques that we've discussed, that is not called, you're not korea, there's no machbe patish, and you're not creating a utensil. To create a utensil on Shabbos at most would be a melacha derabanan, of the binyan bekelim midrabanan. Midaraisa, there's no such deraisa of binyan bekelim. It's because ein binyan bikalim, it's detached from the ground. It will be an issue of binyan midrabanan. There's no binyan midrabanan. Okay, now, what about metal? Now, you got to go to the YouTube videos. And you got to go look how they make, how things are made. There's a whole series of how things are made. I used to go watch some of these videos on Amazon. How things are made. Very, very fascinating. They show you an unbelievable chachma, how things are made. To all these very, very popular products that we have today. The one that blew my mind the most is hats. How they make porcelino hats. Unbelievable how much work goes into making the hat. I was shocked out of my mind to watch how you make hats. A porcelino hat. Yeah, that's right. It costs a lot of money. It's amazing how much labor, enormous amount of labor goes into making even one hat. They have videos. They show you. They take you to the factories, how they make it. So everything has a chachma to it. Now, the old fashion, the olden days, how did they seal bottles, metal caps? And how do they seal metal caps? A plate. It's a plate. The plate is in a certain, not perfect square, obviously, because you want at the end it should be a cap. It's just a plate. It's a plate of metal. And there's a machine with hydraulics and enormous force, you can't even imagine, smashes down on the top of the bottle and magically takes this flat plate and seals the bottle. And it perforates the bottom, so there would be a ring. And now it's all ready for you. When you go home, you can turn it and it'll break off. Never ever at any point in time was that cap functional.
Sure was.
No, it wasn't. It was a piece of metal.
And it became a cap on the bottle, sealed off, and it's a cap now on the bottle.
So you're going into a lot of lumness. You're saying a lot of chidushin. You're saying lumness. You're saying that is that
They made a cap. They formed it. Okay. Like they formed your hat on that mold.
Maybe that's the reason why.
When you put it on the head.
Maybe that's the reason why. That contributes to why many poskim are very lenient. And you're right, 100%. I always open them. I don't have any problem. I open the bottles. I mean, I think everyone I know opens the bottles. But let's play devil's advocate. Let's learn. Let's just go through the sugyas. The argument is that never ever was this cap functional in its existence. Never. Because it started as a piece of metal. When it was forced upon this bottle, it was sealed shut. It was sealed. You can't use it. You can't use it.
You're using it right then and there.
No, you have to do. You have to do make bepatish. You have to do a significant act of opening it with a lot of force to break that seal so it can be functional. Make bepatish. What is make bepatish? Make bepatish is the last thing you do to you. The utensil's 99% done. It's done already. The last bang with the hammer to get that nail in, to finish off the last thing that is a significant. This is a malacha in and of itself. This was a piece of slab of metal. It's worthless. It's not a kli. They verstumped it on the bottle. It's not a cap because it's sealed. I can't use it. I have to do something significant. What is significant? I have to turn it with force, unusual force that you don't ordinarily do, in order to snap off, to separate, to break the seals, these little teeny metal seals that are still keeping it attached to the ring on the bottom. And you're right, I'm at many points come a matter, like what you just said. They really matter, not only because you said there are other reasons why they matter, but you're saying, it's so what? It's insignificant. The fact is, it's already called a kli. So what? It's attached. No, it's already called a utensil when it's on the bottle. I hear. But some say not. Some say you're first making it into a significant utensil by opening it. So what's the problem? You're making a utensil on Shabbos. You're making a kli. Binyan dekelim midrabanan. Now this is very limited application because this only applies to metal that is pressed on a bottle in such a way where it never ever had a shame kli until this act was done. Plastic caps are not like that. Most of the plastic caps go to the factory. Here are the caps. Here they are. You can use it the way they are right now. And now they just push it on. They push it on and they attach a seal. Or when they put it on, somehow the seal clicks in. But before it was put on, it's a kli, it's a utensil, it's a cap, it's functional. It's functional already at this point in time to a degree. This is the argument made, but we're not finished yet. The reason why we're not finished is because it's a very important sugya, and this is a major, major This element of going to talk now is for sure the most significant thing in the entire book and in the entire sugya of opening packages on Shabbos. We're talking now about what's the problem. The problem is when you open up a package that's sealed, you're making a utensil. You're fashioning a utensil. Not all utensils are the same. The Gemara introduced what's called kalim mus takoi. That's how I pronounce it. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it the way everyone else pronounces it. Mus takoi. What does it mean, mus takoi? What is a clean mus takoi? Probably in the article, they translated it as an inferior utensil. It's inferior. It's not choshuv. There are kalim chashuvim, and there are kalim mus takoi. Inferior utensils. What is an inferior utensil? So you got to go look in the Rishonim, and they all say different things, what a kalim mus takoi is. And then you learn that a kli mus takoi is an earthenware utensil. This is what it says, and this is the main interpretation. I will have to find it inside over here. Is an earthenware utensil that shattered. It shattered. Beautiful collector's item. Earthenware utensil, piece of china. It's worth $1 million. $1 million utensil. It's choshev, no? Shatters. I take some Elmer's glue out of your kindergarten's knapsack. You take some Elmer's glue and you take all the pieces and you glue it together. You glue it together. And all the pieces stick together. If a person does that on Shabbos, is he chayiv? Is that osur? No. I mean, the style of glue, chibu, there are other issues, but technically that is not called, even if you were to hold binyan bekalim, even if you were to hold, that's not called binyan. Because this is inferior. A utensil that is broken and comes together and you reconstruct it by gluing all the pieces together, that is not subject to binyan ustira bekalim. That's called mustakai. Here it is. Let me here it is. Kasa b'shulchan aruch v'zel l'shoinai simin shin yudalit ein binyan ustira bekalim v'hani mili she'enai binyan mamish. When do we paskin that there's no binyan bekalim and there's no halacha that it's not called binyan? You can do it. That's only when it called would by when it's not binyan mamish. Kigoin, for example, chavis, a barrel, shenishbara, it broke. Earthenware utensil or a barrel that broke, shattered, v'davak shivoreha, you glued the pieces, b'zefes, with pitch. V'zehu nikra mustakoi, yochol l'shavra, this type of, there's no called binyan, there's no stira. If you have a container, you have food inside such a container, and you want to get its contents, you can smash it. You can destroy it. You can be soiser. There's no issue, because this is not called, there's no din of binyan and stira, because this is called, because it's not choshev, it's a kli mustakoi. Yoch l'shava, mashav b'soichav, v'vat shalo yichav l'alach, don't make, you're allowed to destroy it. Don't make a nekev yofeh, dim can have a leg mesakin moneh, avul imho yeshlema, also l'shava afilu b'inyin sheni oysa kli. Now, the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that you're not allowed to destroy it. He's a little bit in the middle. He holds that if it was a chosh of a kli, you would not allow to be destroy it. In other words, Shulchan Aruch is machmir that he holds that there is stira b'kelim. If you have a utensil, a real utensil, you have to be careful. Not to get confused between plastic wrappings and actual utensils. A plastic seal around something is not called a utensil. You have paper cups, and it's wrapped up in plastic. The plastic that it's wrapped up in is not called a utensil. That's not even called a utensil. But let's say you were to have a real utensil, are you allowed to destroy it in order to get what's inside, the contents inside? You're not allowed to. Then we say stira b'kalim, even though it's destructive. Midrabanan, it's still aser. In other words, if you have a chosh of a utensil, something that's cost money, it's valuable, and inside is food, and you want the food on Shabbos, so let me do a destructive act, destroy the utensil in order to get the contents inside. You're not allowed to do that. Oh, but it's an act of destruction. Doesn't matter. Midrabanan, you're not allowed to destroy a utensil, even though it's not for constructive purposes. Ordinarily, when it comes to the malach of stira, you only chai when you soiser al menas livnais. When it comes to midaraisa, when it comes to demolition on Shabbos, when it comes to the deraisa of things that are mechubal lekarka, it is only an isra deraisa if you destroy something for the purpose of rebuilding in its place. But if you destroy something with no intent to rebuild, that is minat Torah is mutar. Kalim, there is no din in general of destruction. However, on a biblical level, but midrabanan, if you have a kli that is choshuv, and you have food inside, and you want to destroy the utensil with no intent to reconstruct it, obviously you're not going to reconstruct the utensil when you destroy it, it is still osur midrabanan. The only time Chazal said that they did not enact any limitation whatsoever and allowed a person to come along and destroy a utensil in order to get what is inside is only if it's from the category of kelim called kelim mustakoi. Then Chazal said, l'chatchila, you can go and you can destroy it in order to get what's inside. Then there is no limitation whatsoever. Thus, on what is kelim mustakoi? It is an earthenware utensil or a barrel that already was destroyed and was reconstructed with glue. So such a utensil, since it's been reconstructed, it's secondhand, it's been reconstructed, tchias ha-mesen, it's not the same quality. So this type of utensil, Chazal said, you know what? Lichatchila, you can take a hammer, you can smash it, you can destroy it, and you can take out the contents. If this was a brand new barrel that was in perfect condition, and you filled it with food and you sealed it, and the only way you can open it up is by destroying it, you're not allowed on Shabbos to destroy it to get the contents inside. It's not nisar deraisa, it's osur midrabanan because of stira bekelim midrabanan. But if this utensil is an inferior type of utensil, which in the example given in the Gemara is a utensil that was once complete, shattered, was reconstructed with glue, then lechatchila, this ain stira bekelim, and you can shatter it to get the food inside. Now here comes the very big chiddush, which is a big machlokes lapoiskim. Caps of bottles, disposable bottles, have they ever been destroyed and reconstructed?
Yeah.
No, they have not. Is that what you call destroyed, reconstructed? I don't think so. I don't think that's well. Is that called what it means? Is that equivalent to the case of the Gemara of a barrel that shattered and you took the pieces and you glued them together? I don't think recycling is equivalent. There's a bigger chiddush. The vast majority of poskim say that it's an awesome chiddush. Anything that is disposable automatically has the same halachic status of kelim mustakoi. But it's not. Disposable kelim are brand new, they're fresh. They're in good shape. We're very spoiled today. We throw out in the garbage, you know, some very hard plastic utensils, which our grandparents probably would not have been so swift to throw in the garbage. But if in the mind of a person, these kelim are disposable, the vast majority of poskim can say, even though it's not a perfect match for what it says in the Gemara, that you're allowed to shatter kelim mustakoi in order to extract the contents, disposable utensils you're allowed to destroy in order to extract what is inside. Even you're allowed to, and that is why many things. That is why today, if you can't open it in a normal way, you open it by destroying it. Okay, all packages, like, you know, you have a plastic, boxes that contain food, and the plastic that holds them, that holds, you have a box of cookies. So you rip open the box, and the cookies are in another plastic. You rip it open. Why? Each thing in and of itself is really a utensil. It's really a utensil. So that's not called stira bekelim. Because Anything that is disposable automatically has the status of kelim mustakoi, chad pa'ami, one time use, and it's permitted to destroy. Now here's another chiddush. This we're going further in the chiddushim. The same way that there is no din of soiser destroying a disposable utensil, there is no prohibition to make a disposable utensil. It goes two ways. It goes two ways. So going back to the bottle, the metal caps. The metal cap, we already said, there's no din mechatech. It's already been marked where it's going to break. There's no din koirea, because it's metal and it's destructive in breaking the seal. So what's the problem then? What's the problem? I'm making a utensil. Oh really? What are you making? It's not. It already was a utensil. So Rav Dov is saying it already was a utensil. You're not making a utensil. Ein achinami. Maybe already, even though it started as a slab of metal and they pressed it on, it's still a utensil, just attached. Okay, maybe. Let's say not. Let's say no. Let's say the first time that you separate, I'm creating a new utensil by turning it. Okay, fine. So what's the problem? You're not allowed to make new utensils, midrabanan, binyan mikalim. Binyan mikalim, midrabanan, you're not allowed to make utensils, midraisa, you're not doing anything wrong, but midrabanan, you're making a utensil. Excuse me, sir. What kind of utensil are you making here today? When you turn that metal and you cause the ring to snap and you now make a new utensil, you can now close the bottle, open the bottle, close, open, preserve the contents inside. Define for me the type of class of kli you have created. Can you sell this cap at Sotheby's for $100 million? I don't think so. Can you sell it on the black market for a dollar? Not likely. It's worthless. The type of utensil you've created is in the class of kelim misu. Misutakoi. You have created an inferior utensil. The iser midrabanan of binyan ustira bekelim is only by kelim chashuvim. It does not apply to kelim misutakoi. What is kelim misutakoi in the Gemara? In the Gemara, it's a vase that is shattered and you spent a whole day with your Elmer's glue putting it back together. That's called kelim misutakoi. It's an inferior utensil.
That's step further, even if you want to use it again and again.
And again and again and again and again. You're going to preserve this for your life, for lifetime. What kind of utensil have you fashioned on Shabbos? You have fashioned an inferior utensil. A bottle cap, by definition, is not choshuv. It's called kelim misutakoi. You'll say, what are you talking about? If you want to be very precise, in the Talmud, kelim misutakoi is a utensil that shattered and was reconstructed. This cap is brand new. Let's say it was not from the recycling. They use new raw material to make this cap. It's not been brand new. It's fresh. That's not called kelim misutakoi. Kelim misutakoi means it shattered and was reconstructed. So the Chazal say, don't hold the Gemara. Don't be so literal. When Chazal talk about kelim misutakoi, and they gave you an example of an earthenware utensil that shattered and you glued back together, that's because in those days they didn't have plastic bottle caps.
So the whole concept that they had years ago, 50 years ago, in the good old times, don't open up the can
because you're making
the clean.
You make a clean.
And you might even use that as your soap dish.
Oh, exactly. He actually discusses, and you know what he says over here? He says, now he's embarrassed to say it. He says, times have changed. The standards today are very different than even times of Rav Moshe and the Gedolim of the previous generation. And today, no one is taking the sardine can and using it as a flower pot. No one. But it goes in the garbage.
It was not a real kale. It was a mistakoi type of a
Yeah, so enechnam, that's why many of those days were also very lenient. Also very lenient. According to old and new. We're trying over here to be miyashiv, why it is mutter. There's no, the reason why it's, even in the worst scenario, let's, you know, people that you go on Shabbos, they kiss, you're not going to open it. You're making a kli. Kli, binyan b'kelim v'rabbanan. How can you open the bottle of soda on Shabbos? I can't believe I dive in a place, I'm a chalei Shabbos here. V'chalei Shabbos d'oraisa. People opening a bottle of soda, what kind of crazy people are you over here? Sonny boy, calm down. Number one, it's not d'oraisa. Okay? Ain't binyan b'kelim. There's no d'oraisa here. M'rabbanan. First of all, there's no, this thing was a kli before we started in the factory. No, you want to go tell me, you're making a kli? Okay, you know what, I'll give you that. We're going to make a kli. What kind of kli are we making here today on Shabbos at the Kiddush? We're making kelim misutakoi. You never heard of that before? We're making kelim misutakoi. What is a kelim? We're making inferior kelim. And it's beferish in the Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, when it comes to kelim misuta koi, ein binyan ustira with these types of kelim. A bottle cap is called kelim misuta koi. Now, there's another yisoid, which I'm going to end up with. This is a lot of yisoid, another chidushim, and he says, incredible chidushim, and this certainly applies to one size, like small water bottles. Anything that you're planning to consume in one shot of a small water bottle, so what is the min ha'olam? You open up the water bottle and you drink it. And if you don't drink the whole thing, what happens? It goes in the garbage. Small serving sizes. Do you ever plan on taking that cap and putting it back on? No.
Look around at people walking around with their water bottles.
Water bottles, it's okay, so yeah, they have larger water bottles. Anything that is a one serving size. That's not even called you're making a utensil because you have no plan on using the cap anymore. Go to a kiddush or shul, or even a family, think about it. Is the bottle of soda going back in the refrigerator? It depends. It depends which shul, it depends how big your family is. If you can make an assessment that most of the time when I open up this bottle, that's it, we're done. This bottle's not going back in the refrigerator. The people here are going to consume the whole bottle. I don't need the cap anymore. I have the cap, open it up, and that's it. Cap, goodbye. You throw it in the garbage right now. Because by the end of the day, this whole bottle, by the end of 10 minutes now, this will be empty. That's not called a kli. It's not even the geder kli. What's the kli? I open up the cap, making a kli? Really? You're making a kli? What's the kli? Because I'm going to use this cap to close the bottle. Will you close the bottle? If it's a one serving size bottle, he has a whole heter here that's not even called a kli. If it's one serving size, once you open it, you're done. Another heter, another chiddush. Do you have a spare cap from last week? And he actually says you should keep in the drawer spare caps. If you have spare caps, I don't need this cap. I have a bottle of soda. I have in the drawer a couple of caps. He says, halacha.
The kids used to collect it.
You used to play games with it by Shalosh Shuddis. If you collect the cap, have a clap, I open up this cap. I don't need this cap because I have other caps. It has no chashivas in my mind. When you make a utensil, the definition of making a utensil is, I have something functional which I need. I don't need you. I'm making a utensil. If I need to close this bottle, I have a whole collection in the drawer I can use to close this bottle. Don't tell me I'm fashioning a utensil on Shabbos because I don't need this utensil. I need my... It goes hand in hand. You have to understand, a lot of these heterim are all built with the principle. A lot of these heterim that I'm telling you now are all built with the principle is, what is your ikar kavana when you make this, the worst scenario? The worst thing is, I'm now making on Shabbos a utensil. Is that what you wanted to do? Davar Sheina Mischavein. I don't want to make a utensil. I wonder how I'm thirsty. I want to take a drink. I wanted the contents. Oh, I'm making a utensil. Davar Sheina Mischavein. Oh, it's a psik resha. It's a psik resha. Guess what? There are many times a Davar Sheina Mischavein is a psik resha is mutal lechatchila. And one of those examples he says here is like in these examples is where, first of all, there's no binyan b'kelim. Ain't binyan b'kelim. Number two, we're dealing with kelim misutakoi. And Number three, this already was a kli before we even started to begin with. So you have all of these things going for you. This already was a kli. This, it was already established a kli, and Ein Binyan Mikalim, and Kalim is Suta Koi, which is no Isra anyway to make such a utensil, and it's the chances of me needing this. Do I even need this? Do I even need this cover for the bottle? I don't need it. I have other bottle covers in the house lying around. And it's, do I even need to close the bottle anymore? No, all the kids, they're going to drink the soda. And whatever's left over, it's not kedai to save. It's going to be fizzed out. Who likes to drink the fizzed out soda? Throw it in the garbage. So then in these combination of all of these factors, I don't need the cap. I don't want to cover it ever more again. And it's kelim misuta koi. And it's not my kavana. It's a davar she'enei mischavein. Go for it. Mutter.
So there
you want to cover it. So whiskey might indeed be a problem. That might be correct. If you're dealing with a whiskey bottle where you're going to need the cap to cover the bottle later on, that might be different. But you're dealing with the cheap soda bottles. There's so many reasons why it's mutter. You have incredible. That's why many of the Gedolei Yisrael said there's no issue whatsoever to open up these caps. They already, you saw this, it already was a cap before you started. Number two, you don't plan on ever covering the bottle again anyway. So you're not even making a cap. You're not going to use it again. Number three, I have other caps I can take out of the garbage to go close the bottle. And number four, even if it's a kli, it's a kli mustakoi, it's a low level inferior type of utensil, which the Gemara says beferish ein binyan ustira bekalim. Number four, I want to make the cap. I couldn't care less about the cap. I want to eat the food. Davar she'enei mischavein. So when you combine all of these things together, it's mutter, according to many poskim. All right, we'll see. Maybe we'll do it more tomorrow. Ed is not here. A can is also a clean mustaka. The whole can goes in the garbage. A can is also a clean mustaka.